respected neighbours, and although the London season was over, there were still aristocratic young ladies who hoped to find husbands as well-born as themselves, or if not well-born, then rich. Sir Hugh Faversham, whose own estate Faversham Park was about 5 miles away, was a mere baronet. His vast wealth made him acceptable to the very highest ranks. It was now 15 years since his first appearance in society, but he was still single, and still preferring bachelor pleasures to the joys of marriage. Or so the world thought. Only those who knew him best realized that he would have abandoned his self-indulgent life in a moment, if only a certain lady would just smile on him. But since the lady remained hard-hearted, he had no choice but to fill his existence with idle pastimes for which he cared very little.
"I swear, I have thrown every eligible debutante into his path," Lady Bellingham complained. "He flirts with them all, smiles at them all, dances with them all, and then forgets them the next moment."
"You throw too many pretty girls into his path," her spouse advised her. "He has grown adept at sidestepping them."
"I told him once, frankly, it was time he thought of filling the Faversham nurseries. After all, he owes something to tradition."
"And what did he say to that idea?"
"He said, 'What tradition?'"
Her ladyship responded in accents of deep exasperation.
"The title could die out for all he cares." "I said, 'Really?' After all the trouble his grandfather took securing it."
"And he said that was exactly what he meant."
"Good for him.
A man with his money bags can say what he pleases."
"You are just impossible."
"Anything you say, my dear."
Having completed his duty dances, Sir Hugh was walking around the ballroom, watching the whirling couples with an apparently careless eye. In fact, he was completely alert for any sign of his beloved entering the room. Several ladies tried to catch his attention, not only because he was wealthy, but because he was also a fine, handsome gentleman in the prime of his life. His figure was tall and athletic, and his face lean with regular features and a wide, good-tempered mouth. But Sir Hugh cared for only one lady, and she was not present. At last his patience was rewarded by the late arrival of Lady Faybourne, Miss Harriet Shepton, and Miss Martina Lawson. The two young ladies looked very much alike, both in their early 20s, tall and slender with glorious fair hair. They might have been sisters. But far the prettier of the two was Miss Shepton. Her features were dainty, her eyes large and blue, her expression winning. Hers was a face to make men fall in love. Miss Lawson was attractive, but the most notable characteristic in her face was her intelligence. Her eyes were keen, almost sharp, her chin resolute, and there was nothing melting in her manner. It was even rumoured that she was a blue stocking. Horror of horrors. Here was a young woman who, but for her comfortable dowry, would have frightened the suitors away. Yet it was Miss Lawson who made Sir Hugh's eyes soften as he looked at her. Miss Shepton was to him no more than a pretty doll. He greeted all three ladies with great courtesy and attentiveness, and procured ice creams for them. When he returned, he was to find that Martina had vanished.
"Lord Periwick asked her to dance," Harriet said.
"Oh, yes," muttered Sir Hugh, displeased. "I know him, and I believe he is greatly in debt."
"Fie, sir," Lady Faybourne intervened archly. "You are always so hard on us poor ladies. Fancy saying that the only reason a man would want to dance with Martina was because he was after her money."
"I didn't precisely. I own that she is no great beauty, unlike dear Harriet here, but she is pleasant enough in her way. Although I dislike a woman who displays her intelligence quite so blatantly, don't you, Sir Hugh?"
Sir Hugh thought that nobody could accuse Lady Faybourne of blatant intelligence, but he kept his opinions to himself. As soon as possible, he edged towards Martina, noticing how stunning she looked in an evening dress of pale rose tulle, adorned with lattice panels of violet satin. His intention was to ask her to dance, but he was foiled at the last moment by another partner, who whisked her away from under his nose. For a while, he had to content with himself watching her whirl about the room, thinking that no other lady looked so graceful, and wishing her...